Plenty going on this Sunday morning. You know, got vehicles moving along the road, going somewhere. Got bicycles out there, people, flies doing their thing, traveling here. And we're doing our thing too. You know, sitting and then doing this walk around circles and then coming back. And maybe also you're doing things in your mind too. You know, right? Maybe thinking about the next big thing you got to do this afternoon, or what the week's like. A lot of traveling going on. This morning there was a big rumbling motorcycle come up the drive. You know, Michael and I were talking about it, and he went off. You know, a lot of noise, woke up the rooster, and then came back 3 minutes later. What's the story there? There's some kind of story there. There is all this traveling going on. And yet, Zen philosophy tells us that at the same time, every moment is new as well. And though we don't usually fully appreciate that every breath comes new and fresh, every in-breath and every out-breath, and that every moment coming new is happening at the same time as all of these other things, all this traveling, all this directionality, the past going right into the future, and along with all of our plans. And Zen practice is, among other things, a way to come back to that moment by moment, very simple awareness of just this happening, just this sound. Not going anywhere, just this sound. Coming back to that. It seems like it wouldn't be much good to do that. I mean, it's much more, it just seems like it's smarter to think about all the things we have to do. Better use of our time. But Zen says that there is this practice is based upon the fact that there is something that we lose when that's all we know. And this practice helps us realize this other reality which is going on every day, all the time, which is fresh. That's the reality, I think, that poets often try to get to. It's very simple. You know, it's not complicated. But it's hard to get to and hard to appreciate because we have complicated lives and we're great at thinking about them. Here's this poem by Mary Oliver. Maybe you've heard it. It's called Mindful. Every day I see or hear something that more or less kills me with delight, that leaves me like a needle in the haystack of light. It was what I was born for, to look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world, to instruct myself over and over, in joy and acclamation. Nor am I talking about the exceptional, the fearful, the dreadful, the very extravagant, but of the ordinary, the common, the very drab, the daily presentations. Oh, good scholar, I say to myself, how can you help but grow wise with such teachings as these, the untrimmable light, of the world. The oceans shine, the prayers that are made out of grass. It's not just Mary Oliver that points toward these common things. I think it's one of the reasons that I love poetry, and certainly haiku does the same thing. Points toward these simple moments that we miss all of the time in our rush toward wherever we're going. I happened to hear Mary Oliver, an interview with her recently, and she talked about the discipline of writing, that it's a discipline. I'm sure that writing itself is a discipline, but the noticing of what she's going to write about, now that's a discipline. And that's the discipline that we're involved with. It's the discipline, and it has this crazy form that is ever-changing now, you know, as it moves from India to China to Japan to here. But the fundamental thing is, it's a discipline. We're disciplining ourselves to notice the world as it is. And we're stopping ourselves from jumping forward, which feels unnatural at first, but we can get a feeling for it through this practice. You know, it occurs to me that I'm a believer in that philosophy of Zen, the Zen philosophy that says that while time moves along, there is also this aspect of timelessness that is always happening. And so I ask myself, you know, I think we have to ask ourselves, what is it that prevents us from hearing that, from feeling that? And certainly for me, one of the things that prevents that from me from feeling that, does she have a line in there about that? Yeah, to feel what I'm born for, to look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world. What is it that prevents that? I think the Buddha said, and we just last fall did a class on the Buddha, and I was struck by how many times he uses this phrase, present moment awareness. We've got to teach ourselves to have this present moment awareness. And in the Zen school, we call that Zazen, just sitting. So that's the tool. And according to the Buddha, the things that throw us off, there are three original problems. Greed, anger, and ignorance. Greed is wanting things. So even on us, in a subtle way, wanting something to be different. Anger is a subtle form of aversion. So wanting something not to. So we're either going towards something or going away from it. And then that leads to ignorance, that we don't know this feeling, this natural birthright that we have, which is just quiet and not wanting anything, not needing anything, not making up stories about anything, just being. And that leads to these, you know, Mary Oliver says, to something pretty nice. To how about that? To see or hear something more or less, or every day, that more or less kills me with delight. To notice those moments. That's a kind of promise of practice. But there's another aspect. I have notes all over the place. I'm totally unprepared for this talk. We've been busy this last week. There's another aspect that I just want to touch on to this present moment awareness. Because the one thing is just to to be close enough to it, to appreciate it enough that you can be killed with delight when you see something beautiful, rather than thinking about the next thing. And that's a wonderful aesthetic moment there, I think, and appreciation, and can give us happiness. But there is another aspect, which is as we get this, as we come back to Zazen and then go back into our lives, that we can approach the things in our lives, with a kind of fresh energy. So it's not just about appreciating those quiet moments. It's also about diving back into our life, the chaos of our life. I'm a big fan of Emily Dickinson, but that's not my model for the Zen life. It's closer to Dylan Thomas, maybe. nothing bad about Emily Dickinson. I really do love her work. But in terms of we're really called to do both this reflective, quiet, insular. We come here and when we're quiet. But we're also called to jump out back into life, to dance with it. And this quiet aspect that we find can really help us as we get back into dancing with life. And it does that by as we approach the different ways of the twists and turns of our life. If we have a practice like this, I think we're able to see the world, the natural world, but also our lives with fresh eyes, and see that there may be, there are chances there that we wouldn't otherwise see. There are ways of being, there are directions, because we have a wider view, not a myopic one. And that literally happens, I think, as we sit. We widen our view, not just to what our agenda is, but to the whole 360-degree world. And as we enter into life, I think this practice helps us enter life as an adventure. So not just like this toward our own agenda, but being loose and ready for adventure. We are embarking on an adventure at this Zen Center. And, when we went out the early mornings at Kinhin, everybody went left and then Linda went right. And she thought maybe that was the right way to go. And there's going to be lots of those wrong turns that we're all going to make. But Linda just laughed at, gave a good hearty laugh and then came back the other way, and all of us had a good laugh. And that's the kind of loose spirit that I hope this practice leads to. Our lives take all kinds of different wrong turns, and to be able to follow those with grace and lightness and freshness is one of the promises of this practice. Well, it will be an adventure. Thanks for taking it together with me and all the rest of us.